The Utah Constitution is a hot topic in 2024.
So many amendments are on the ballot. Besides Amendment D, we did a deep dive on that last week, there is Amendment A. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. Amendment A could totally change the rules on spending state income tax on education.
There's also a trade-off at play here. If voters say yes to more flexibility spending income tax, the state's sales tax on food goes away.
So, voters are
You guys, we've been newsed.
Hello, KUER education reporter Martha Harris. Are you okay? You look exhausted.
I'm just going to scooch in right here if you don't mind. I'm fine. Just never a dull moment. Doing great.
So what's the news?
Oh, right. We're not voting on Amendment A anymore. Surprise.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Yeah, so attorneys representing the Utah legislature have actually just asked the judge to void the amendment, and the judge gave them the stamp of approval.
Okay, you're telling me the legislature just conceded? That seems uncharacteristic. Are they sick?
No, well, maybe. Here's the briefing.
KUER's education reporter Martha Harris, everyone. Sage, what does this briefing say? Can you interpret it for us?
Okay. I'm no Mike Ross from Suits. Give me a second to read this over.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, got it. So the legislature's attorneys essentially agree that a judge should void Amendment A. In other words, the legislature didn't do its job in giving the public the amendment text in time.
Oh, so it's the same argument the Amendment D critics made.
Exactly. So the legislature said, judge, go ahead, void it. And the district judge approved that request.
So Amendment A will remain on the ballot, but no votes will be counted for or against it.
Precisely. It's like Amendment D 2.0, but without all the court hearings that I had to attend. So yeah, a win there.
Well, glad there's a silver lining. But what does this mean for the show? We had a whole episode ready to go and in the can about what Amendment A is and what people think about it.
Well, in showbiz, the show must go on. But seriously, Amendment A is still really important to understand, even if we're not voting on it this year. That's because the amendment and talk of getting rid of the sales tax on food are sure to be resurrected. So with that, on with the show. Sean, the conversation around getting rid of the state sales tax on food sounds a little familiar.
Sure does. State Street covered the last time food tax made headlines in 2022. Back then, the conversation on food sales tax was not tied up with changing the state constitution. Some lawmakers just wanted it gone. Others wanted to leave it be because the tax generates a stable revenue for the state. Because, you know, everyone's got to eat.
If approved, this would only remove the state portion of the sales tax on food. Local and county taxes still apply. See tax code for details.
But during the 2023 legislative session, lawmakers said, sure, we'll get rid of the state's portion of the sales tax on food.
For a political price.
And that price is your income tax dollars, which makes up the largest portion of the state's budget. Lawmakers want more flexibility in how that gets spent. Other tax revenue, like sales and property tax, have more leeway when it comes to where that money goes. That is not the case for income tax. Right now, it goes towards public education, higher education, and services for children and people with disabilities. That's it. Because the Utah Constitution says so.
The negotiation at the legislature to get this on the ballot happened almost 2 years ago, and a lot of political news has happened since then.
When we talked to Utah voters about Amendment A, some of them were understandably not caught up enough to make a decision quite yet.
Honestly, I feel the same way. It is a lot to keep track of on top of all the other things going on for this election. But there were two people on KUER's voter panel who were very passionate about this topic.
Republican Nikki Brammer is a strong advocate for Amendment A. She says education will still be properly funded, but that the state should be using income tax to fund other priorities as well.
I'm supportive of Amendment A. There's actually a lot in there that isn't being communicated. For instance, the K-12 student population is decreasing. the way that we fund our schools, like 62% of that comes from the weighted pupil unit, meaning how many students attend the school. You know, with the student populations going down, that means you will have less funding. Part of Amendment A guarantees that the legislature will continue funding at the current level. Most legislators have children in the public education system. They have grandchildren in the public education system. They highly value public education. It's the future of our state. I can't imagine a scenario where they don't continue to fund our schools in a way that educates our students.
On the other side is Democrat Bridgette Weir. She thinks we need to ensure as much money as possible is going toward funding education.
Utah ranks 49 out of 50 states in how little we fund per pupil. We do not invest enough. We know that the legislature wants that income tax down to zero. They have cut it every year for 35 years. They are looking to bring that down to nothing. We know. We know they'll give another income tax break, right? So I will be voting against it because we know where the income tax rate is going to be cut again. And that will completely, you know, decimate our education system. Our schools should be funded at a robust level. Utah has never done that.
So to help us break it all down, we brought in the big guns. I sat down with KUER education reporter Martha Harris.
Martha has had their finger on the pulse of the debate around this amendment since it passed out of the legislature.
I asked them to give a quick primer on the amendment, the basics, what it does, how it functions, who is for it, and who is against it. Martha Harris, it's so nice to have you back on the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Martha Harris is an education reporter here at KUER and has been following all the drama with Amendment A. So let's just tick it off. What is Amendment A and what would it do?
Yeah, so to understand Amendment A, we have to talk about education funding and the income tax. So right now, state lawmakers can only use income tax revenue for education and certain social services. It can't be used on anything else. It's a hard line. But if Amendment A passes, the amendment is asking to remove that earmark on the income tax so lawmakers can use that money for whatever they want. They would have to fund education first, but after that, they could use it for anything they want, which they can't do right now.
So right now, lawmakers don't have the ability to kind of do what they want with income tax because of the Constitution.
Yep.
So why are the people having to vote on this and not the legislature?
So like you mentioned, since this earmark is baked into the Constitution, the legislature has to get voters to approve it and get rid of it. They can't do it by themselves. The earmark, we should know, it has been adjusted a few times over the years. For a while, only part of it went to education, and then it was completely to education, and then they added in higher education and social services. So voters have, you know, voted to change the earmark in the past, but this kind of letting lawmakers use it on anything outside of education is new.
So they'd have more wiggle room or freedom to play with that money instead of it having to go to a few select services.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been their main argument of this would give us more flexibility.
So how exactly would this impact education funding if we removed this earmark that is placed by the Utah Constitution?
So that's an important question, and the answer, it kind of depends on who you ask, because there is some uncertainty to this. So one thing the amendment would do is right now, the state legislature is required by state law to fund a couple of things in education. So that includes funding any student enrollment growth. So if there's like more students, and they have to cover inflation, and they also have to save some money specifically for education. So those requirements are currently in state law, and what this amendment would do is move that over to the Constitution, which is harder to change. So those who have argued for Amendment A have said, you know, this would give more guarantees to education funding since those requirements would be locked in the Constitution instead of just state law. Lawmakers who are pushing for this change argue you won't see any changes to education funding, and if anything, they say that they would give more funding to education. But opponents of the amendment are more skeptical. They say, yeah, this might protect the status quo, but they argue that education already isn't getting enough funding in Utah. They also say that the amendment is too vague, and they just don't trust lawmakers with that power to have more flexibility on how they spend income tax dollars.
You've spoken with educators about this amendment, and you've mentioned a little bit about how they're feeling. But overall, like, do they support it? Do they want to see this go through? What's going on?
Yeah, so I have heard a lot of frustrations. Like, one of the biggest vocal opponents to this amendment is the state's largest teachers union, the Utah Education Association. And so I think some of the educators and people in education that I've talked to, you know, they're seeing this as a threat to public education funding, or lawmakers not valuing public education. And I think they're just frustrated by this. Here's Utah Education Association President Renee Pinkney.
If we open up the income tax fund to all state needs, we are guaranteeing the defunding of our public education system, which is the foundation of our democracy. Are we really willing to sacrifice our children's education, their future success, and their happiness for the sake of legislative convenience? Are we ready to let the legislature fund pet projects, including private religious school vouchers, at the expense of our neighborhood public schools?
So you've talked about how the largest teachers union feels about Amendment A. What about lawmakers?
So like we talked about, they want more flexibility. Here's Republican Representative Karen Pearson. She sponsored the constitutional amendment. She says figuring out how to spend tax dollars is tough when the legislature is so restricted.
That just becomes a little tricky when people's spending habits have changed, when the way we collect revenue fluctuates so much year to year. That sometimes that can become a challenge then when you want to fund things like mental health, law enforcement, affordable housing, homelessness. I mean, there's so many state needs that are critical to our state.
But there is a trade-off with the amendment. What other things are tied to it?
Yeah, so there's the amendment which deals with the income tax, but then there's also these two bills that are like companion bills that are attached to it, and they would go into effect only if Amendment A passes. So the one that's gotten the most attention is lawmakers have said, you know, hey, voters, if you guys pass Amendment A, if you give us this budget flexibility, we will get rid of the state's portion of the food sales tax. And it even mentions that on the ballot question. It says, if you pass this, we will get rid of the food sales tax. And that's kind of like sweeten the pot. So that's the one thing.
I mean, it's an incentive.
It's an incentive of you let us do this, we'll give you this money back. And then the other bill that is tied to Amendment A also deals with education funding. It's called Hold Harmless. And it says that at least for the next 5 years, if student enrollment goes down, they won't decrease the school's funding. And student enrollment is projected to go down across the state. And like I mentioned earlier, kind of the frustration that the state's largest teachers union has voiced is, well, hey, lawmakers, you could do both of these bills on your own. You could get rid of this food sales tax. You could put into effect this Hold Harmless bill. You don't have to tie them to Amendment A. And so they think this is presenting voters with a false choice.
What will this outcome reveal about voters?
I think it will reveal kind of how much trust they have with the state legislature. Like, do they trust lawmakers with giving them this budget flexibility? Do they trust how they will spend the tax dollars if they give them this option to spend on other things besides education and social services?
I think that brings up a good question as well. Have you heard any conversations from lawmakers about what they would use income tax to fund?
Short answer, no. I mean, they've talked about, here's are some ways that we could potentially use it, like roads or things like that, but they haven't said, like, oh, if you let us do this, like, here are the projects that we have down the list that we want to accomplish. And so I don't know if they do have anything in plan. They're not just not saying it, but they haven't said, here's what we'd use the money on. And I think that kind of uncertainty is brings up some questions for voters and also people in education.
Martha Harris, KUER education reporter, thank you so much for joining us and breaking down another very complicated amendment.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was KUER's excellent education reporter, Martha Harris.
After a quick break, we'll be outlining the arguments for and against Amendment A.
You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Caroline Ballard. We are throwing a lot at you this season of State Street. And if you have questions about the election or what is on your ballot, we are here for them. Literally, in person, at Fisher Brewing on October 23rd. Come for some trivia and stay for a Q&A session with us, the State Street team. Doors open at 5:30 and trivia starts at 6. The event is free, but you've got to sign up ahead of time. You can find that at KUER.org.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller.
As a reminder, we will not be voting on Amendment A anymore. And if you do circle in a bubble, it just won't count.
The Utah Education Association, the largest teachers union in the state, asked the courts to block it from the November ballot. Just like the Utah Supreme Court did with Amendment D. Basically, the state agreed with its critics that it didn't follow amendment publication deadlines outlined in the Utah Constitution. Now we have a basic understanding of the amendment.
It would remove the state income tax earmark on education in order to free up how lawmakers spend those dollars. Because right now, the state constitution says it can only be spent on a select few things.
Why do lawmakers want to free up that pot of money? Well, their crystal ball says they could be in some trouble.
The University of Utah's Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute held a panel on Amendment A in August. Phil Dean is the institute's chief economist. He says the state is facing a budget dilemma down the pipeline.
That's because income tax is generating revenue a lot faster than other taxes, like sales tax and the gas tax. People's spending habits have changed. Same with transportation needs.
So lawmakers argue they need to be able to spend income tax dollars to meet various state needs. But the Constitution says they can't spend it on those other needs. Dean believes if Amendment A were to fail,
the state has the risk of figuring out how to deal with its flexibility challenge, which is real. And in my mind, at least, it's not a crisis right now, but it could become one in the future. And they're trying to head that off as best they can with this.
And since how income tax dollars are spent is enshrined in the state constitution, voters have to approve any changes made to it, which means the decision is in the hands of you, the voter.
If voters say yes, your grocery bill is going down. The state's portion of the sales tax on food is going away. You'd still pay local taxes on your fruits and veggies, though. Phil Dean says the average Utah household pays roughly $110 a year in state food sales tax. And the food tax is regressive. That means it hurts lower-income Utahns more so than high-income Utahns.
But those with higher incomes usually pay more in food sales tax because they spend more money at the grocery store. They're probably splurging on fancy cheese and some name-brand cereal. Or getting that, like, scalloped-edged triple-ply toilet paper. The luxury.
Hey, don't talk trash about Cheerios, okay? I was practically raised on those things. As a result of those higher costs, Dean says higher income earners will see a larger reduction on their grocery bill.
And if Amendment A passes, instead of spending income tax on education, lawmakers could use it for any, quote, state needs, as long as they first use the money to maintain a statutory public education funding framework.
But that framework doesn't guarantee how much will be spent on education. It simply says the state has to first use some portion of the income tax revenue to cover certain education needs before moving on to other things.
But education isn't even guaranteed a certain level of funding now. The current education earmark only guarantees what income tax revenue is used for.
Some lawmakers still want more flexibility in spending income tax dollars. So even if voters don't vote on it this election, that puppy ain't going away. It's likely to come back around in the future, just like Amendment D. I'm sensing a theme here.
Is it that the legislature just won't let things go?
Yeah.
Either way, it's not often voters are asked to make what essentially boils down to a policy decision.
Tax policy is almost always decided in committee rooms at the legislature, and where that money gets spent is determined by lawmakers.
This is what makes Amendment A so unique. Making policy means making tough choices. What do you value more? The income tax earmark on Utah's education funding, or getting rid of the state's portion of the food sales tax?
It's not a black and white choice. And some of the critics of the amendment say it's actually a false choice.
In the end, it also comes down to whether voters trust the legislature enough to have its way with income tax dollars. As Phil Dean, the chief economist for the Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute, puts it,
the legislature funds things exactly at the level that there's the political will to fund things.
Once it was clear the amendment was void, all of the stakeholders pretty much still stood by their arguments we laid out in the episode.
The legislature still believes in having more flexibility. They just know they weren't going to win this one in court and didn't want to waste taxpayer dollars fighting it.
But the constitutional shakeup on how income tax dollars are spent is sure to make a return. The legislature doesn't give up that easy. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. Before we let you go, we've got a few things to put on your radar.
KUER has voter guides for a few key county races in Salt Lake, Davis, Utah, Washington, and Weaver counties. You can find those over at KUER.org.
Later this month, we've also got a couple of other events. Sage and I are hosting a Reddit AMA all about the election on October 17th. And October 23rd, we'll be at Fisher Brewing in Salt Lake City for election trivia and to answer more of your ballot questions. And if you've got questions right now about voting in the upcoming election, let us know. There's a fancy question box on our homepage at KUER.org. We would love to answer them.
The show would not get off the ground without our team. On the digital side, that's Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomper.
Editing and production work is courtesy of David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark.
Thanks to Bob Nelson for his sweet baritone. And one more time to KUER education reporter Martha Harris for bringing their big brain on the show and sharing their expertise. Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
Catch you next week. Sure does. State Street covered. Sure does. Oh, God.
From KUER.